The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. These words from our Lucan Gospel today resonate with Christ's profound defiance of conventional authority. When Jesus is urged to silence the crowds by the Pharisees, who smartly refer to the crowds as disciples, which seems to imply that they recognize Christ's followers are growing in number, Jesus boldly asserts that even if the people were quiet, the land would reverberate with Christ's message. This echoes a profound truth. Even if humanity were to remain silent, the earth itself would sing out in praise to Christ. Yes, we believe in a God who shakes the very foundations of our reality, the crust of the earth, strong enough so that even a small pebble becomes a living testament to Christ's message of liberation and love, offering solace to the oppressed and disrupting the status quo. And when I was a child, my father used to take me to the Embra River, which is a beautiful river from my parts around central Illinois. And I would spend days walking along the streams and the banks of the river. In a lot of ways, this river raised me. As I walked along the current, I witnessed the ever-changing landscape shaped by erosion, weather, and time. Each time I returned, the river was different. I had seen the river flood, recede, and reflood again. But one thing remained constant, and that was, from the time I was a small child and now into adulthood, I have always loved skipping stones into the river. And as much as I loved skipping the stones, I think I might have loved finding that perfect stone to skip even more. One that was flat and sleek and smooth like satin in my hands. And when I'd find that stone, my father, I hear his voice, he would often remind me, "You know, Katie, that stone took millions of years to look that way. These smooth-skipping stones, each a testament to millions of years of shaping, whispered tales of God's enduring presence and care. These stones endured eternity, being shaped by the earth and the water that made it smooth enough to sit in the palm of my hand and skip back into the current. And through the scriptures, we learn that a stone, even that small stone laying in my hand as a child, would sing out to Christ if it had the chance. In this way, we can also imagine the entirety of creation, from the river water to the turtles, the squirrels, the clams, the trees, the algae, would all sing out to the Messiah. It is an enduring power of creation to speak Christ's truth. With hands like ours that can hold rocks, somehow so profound, we have been given an important responsibility to carefully steward the stories we tell about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, mindful that the earth is listening. And it might sound like a bit of a wild, maybe foolish question, but those are all allowed, so I'll ask. If a rock in our hand could sing out in praise of Christ, what would it have to say? What would a rock tell us about who Jesus is? What do you think? When I think about that question, I'm brought back to many memories of camping or backpacking, when I'm often struck by the immense beauty of the earth. I don't know about you, but I can have a miserable time camping, and then if I just see a beautiful hill or mountainside or waterfall, suddenly I'm crying, because I cry at everything, okay? I don't know how many times I've had to ask my partner to stop the car so I could look at a mountainside of cows, of barnyards, of all the different colors of the grass and the sky and the water. So beautiful that all I can think is that if a rock could sing out, it would sing of Christ's love. I imagine that a rock would have to say, look at all this love in creation. And maybe now we'll move. We're not rocks, we're people, but it still stands the question, how do you as people, what do you as people sing out about who Jesus is and who Christ is in your lives? If I was singing out in that praise and worship of Christ, I have to tell you that I have always resonated with Jesus as a leader who served the poor and the downtrodden, who listened to women, who hung out with sex workers and dined with tax collectors. Certainly, Christ's humble defiance of worldly authority sings out to us in our scripture today. On this Palm Sunday, as we reflect on Jesus' humble entry into Jerusalem, we witness a leader who subverts expectations of power, embracing humility and compassion. Jesus entered into Jerusalem not as a conquering ruler on a grand stallion, but as a humble leader on a donkey. The people who were out shouting praise, Hosanna, maybe were expecting more of a militant leader who could threaten the grip of the Roman Empire. But Jesus does not demand king-like veneration or wield brute force. Instead, the people sung out in praise to a humble God whose humility shook the fabric of our human definitions of power. Jesus is a leader who subverted expectations of power, embracing humility and compassion. He is not a king who has come to conquer land, but to claim our hearts, to heal the people, and to bring all the lost closer to his hands. And today, we know that as Christians, we have this wonderful image of Christ, this humble servant who toppled down authorities through his leadership. And yet we also confront ways that Christ's image has been distorted, ways that the figure who Jesus Christ is has been used to actually hurt people rather than to uplift people with the compassion we see in Christ echoed on this Palm Sunday. While we might hear the rocks sing out to a God of love and a Christ of truth and liberation, we also know all too well that the image of our own beloved Messiah has been used as a form of oppression, that Jesus himself has been propped up to stand for the very powers of greed and control that he sought to overturn. And so today, we must steward this story of Christ's entry into Jerusalem, his story of humble power, with boldness, grace, joy, and praise. Today, as we have our own entrance into Holy Week, we are reminded of Christ's rejection of the grandeur of empire, opting instead to be a different kind of leader. We see in Christ, the Messiah, an image of the divine who wept for the people, who lowered himself into suffering so that all would see God's love and come to life and be set free. As we sing Hosanna, we honor Jesus, who gave voice to the voiceless, who overturned the tables, who is inviting us to also challenge societal norms and systems. This Palm Sunday, let us all consider how we can live out Christ's call to humility and compassion in a world often driven by power and dominance. How can we model in our lives the disruptive love of Christ, challenging injustice and fostering unity? For some, this may involve engaging in the public sphere, advocating on civil issues, while others might find their service in hospitality, opening up their homes, their time, and their resources to give and to help those around them. Or maybe others find that they can offer out Christ's disruptive love in speaking out against injustice, finding the courage to speak out and name when others around them aren't treated with the kindness and equity all are deserving of, or even speaking out when you yourself have been harmed. We find the courage to do these things, to serve in this disruptive love, not through our own impulses or our own aptitude, but through letting ourselves be carefully shaped by God. Held in the hand of Christ, we allow ourselves to be molded into this servanthood, this discipleship of offering out Christ's love to one another. And held in Christ's hand, we are skipped out into the waters of our world in order to make an impact. Because we know that one stone in the water can make a ripple effect worthy enough to transform its surroundings. We are held in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ, who knew that even if the people had no voice, the land would still sing out. And so we know that despite the challenges we faced, Christ reminds us that even the rocks would cry out if we remain silent. Let us be the voices that amplify Christ's message of justice, unity, and new life, embracing the humility and grace that defines his teachings. The earth is singing of a God of justice, a God who is bringing all of us together. We sing praises for our Christ Jesus, who brings about new life even in seasons of grief and uncertainty. We sing Hosanna for our Lord, who walks the path towards a new way of being, one of abundance and belonging that is already here and available to us through God's grace. Christ is showing us this new way. We are called to listen to Christ, who sings out into the stones, and welcome Christ's disruptive message of love for all people. Amen.